Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
QR code on both pages and the Xfinity Mobile text line as well. We see you. We love you. And that's the thing with Moses Moody. I don't know who he is. He averaged 17 and a half minutes per game this year.
What did he average last year?
13. 13. Wow. So this year, he averaged 8 points a game in the 17 minutes. One assist, three rebounds, shot 36% from three, 46% from the floor. Now, he did play some good defense on a lot of players. Like, somebody brought up the Jalen Brunson game, Madison Square Garden.
He was really good.
That's a good call. Yeah. He was really good. He had moments being a very good defender. He did. But I don't know. I don't know who he is. He can't, and I don't know who he's going to play ahead of. I just don't know.
There's just a lot going on with this team when it comes to like the pecking order and everything. The guy, again, if you're asking me who he'd eat minutes from, a little bit of pods here and there, but I go back to GP2. Like, I think a lot of the things GP2 is doing, not all of them, because he doesn't get vertical like he does, but Moody can do a lot of the things that he's bringing to the table. I think GP2's a better individual defender, probably a better help defender as well. But Moody rebounded way better this year. Just my eyeball. I'm not going off the stats.
Right.
The eyeball, he had situational rebounds that were better this year than in years past. But offensively is where he's a big separator between GP2 and him, for me.
Yeah, GP2 didn't play Friday night. Moses Moody saw 19 minutes. Pod saw 23 minutes. CP3, 28 minutes in that basketball game.
Yeah, you cranked him up a little.
Against the Pelicans. Yeah. So I don't know what to make of Moses Moody. Let's go to Austin, Redwood City. Austin, what's happening? You're on the Russ. We got Morgan Reagan coming up at 9:20 to break down to get into the Kings dynamic and the Warriors playing opponent against the Sacramento Kings, of course, at the G1C. Austin, Redwood City, what's happening?
Hey, nothing much. On my way to work. I want to say this, too. Hey, that mental thing is crazy. Remember when Moody got in the playoffs that one time over Kuminga and Kuminga set?
Yep.
Man, that's crazy. That had to give him a good boost right there. Other than that, I don't see Klay Thompson leaving. They've been trying to break up the Big Three for years, and the Big Three been breaking up teams, and teams been trying to build on beating the Warriors, and they can't do it. They cannot do it. Look at LeBron, Kyrie. They're all on different teams. Rebuilding on different teams, and the three-headed monsters still sticking together. He ain't going nowhere. Let's go, Dubs. And like last caller said, man, y'all, we ain't looking at what the bigs are doing for the Warriors. We beat Giannis after we got thrashed by the Celtics with Trey Justin Davis blocking three shots. And Pod, his minutes need to be, reduced a little bit because he be running around reckless, making mistakes, and doing good. Moody can be doing the same thing. That's all I got.
Austin in Redwood City. What do you make of that?
What do I make of that? I mean, Austin, I want to hear from you more often. That's number one. Number two, they have unlocked something with some of these bigs. When you've heard multiple callers talking about, having Trayce Jackson-Davis provides an element. And people are referencing Bogut. Bogut, better passer. But to me, it's that high-low alley-oop game. And the ability for him to set a high screen and be able to move downward and command help attention from the defense where they have to rotate over. Because not only does that get him easy layups in the paint, but then that opens things up for the shooters. So I think that the TJD insertion has been monumental for this team. That's why I'm curious to see how long they go with it tomorrow.
Yeah, well,
like, if he gets a foul quick, do you yo-yo him right away?
But even if it gets sacked tomorrow, and if GP2 is available, don't you want GP2 defending De'Aaron Fox at times to try to slow him down?
To start the game?
I'm not saying start the game.
I was going to start the game.
Yeah, I'm not going to start
the game. Oh, I think GP2, if you ask me today,
right,
like Kuminga or GP2, who ends up with more minutes? I think the Kerr's going to end up with GP2 having more minutes than
Kuminga. GP2 has only been seeing like 8 minutes, 13 minutes, 12 minutes, spot duty. It's fun, dude. With the starting lineup, I think you got to roll with the same starting lineup.
No, I
agree. It's Clay, Steph, it's Wiggins, it's TJD, it's Draymond.
But think about what happened in the playoffs last year.
But you got to have all hands on deck. And Steve Kerr, that's where he is good in the playoff series. He will adjust. He will tinker his lineup. He'll tinker his starting lineup. He'll tinker his rotation. All hands on deck tomorrow.
So I think Pods will get... I'd be surprised if Pods goes over 20 minutes tomorrow. I don't know where he fits in against the
Depends
Kings.
Depends on the game flow.
Okay.
I think it depends on the game flow. Okay. You know, like Steve Kerr may start out five in the first quarter. You may see the starting lineup. There's no guarantee that same five will start the second half. How many times have we seen Steve Kerr start a different five to open the second half?
It's a bunch of times.
Seen it all the time.
A bunch of times. So, like, I'm thinking in my head, like, over the last month, we haven't gotten a lot of Looney until recently. I think Looney's a big factor tomorrow.
Played 8 minutes Friday night. Played big against Portland. I don't know where Looney slides. I think you're going to start him off. I don't know about 15, but I definitely think you dust him off against some other. Draymond Green showed that he took the challenge one on one against Zion Williamson and did a phenomenal job. Sacramento's going to go to the one big lineup a lot.
Yeah, but I worry that Dre gets in foul trouble. I think he'll be fine.
I think he'll be fine against Sabonis. He'll shut down Sabonis. He'll be cranked up, ready to go against Sabonis. But now the refs will be watching that. You don't want the whistle to blow on him. You know, it's going to be interesting. But I like Draymond defending Sabonis tomorrow 1-on-1. What he did against Zion Williamson. Zion, a lot of people are going to say, well, he scored 26. Zion was 11-26. Draymond Green did a phenomenal job defending Zion Williamson Friday night. When Zion was getting the ball, it was like a turnover for the Pels almost. Like, the worrisome thing about the Pels was C.J. McCollum breaking down defense, giving it to Trey Murphy III, and then coming back and hitting threes. That killed him, plus the live ball turnovers. All right, what's coming up in the game? Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Morgan Reagan, NBC Sports California, pre- and post-game show host with the Sacramento Kings on NBC Sports NBC Sports California, plus the Deuce and Mo podcast. We'll start to dive into it. Our first of three Sacramento King guests over the next 2 days. Draper and Kitty tomorrow on the morning roast. But let's get to Morgan here on the other side on 95.7 The Game.
And Curry will bring it up. Curry drives, scores. He's got 50. A 50-point playoff game for Stephen Curry in a Game 7.
Now back to the morning roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky. Take it away, Bonte.
Bonte's still talking in the hall. It's Shasky, but here he comes. You know, I was thinking about last year's playoffs as a whole. Warriors-Kings. It might have been the most exciting of all the series. Of all the playoffs. Maybe I'm biased because I'm a Warrior guy and, you know, seeing the Northern California rivalry finally have its moment, I thought it was really cool. Seeing the come up of De'Aaron Fox and everything that happened in that series, whether it's the Barnes missed shot, the Draymond stomp, like everything.
We're excited in Miami-Boston.
Great series. Again, that's why I said arguably. Yeah. I said arguably. All right. So, you know... I think it's interesting that these two teams are playing each other in a playing game.
Just talking to Steiny and Egan in the break room and breaking out what we've been talking about all season. People clamoring for Moses Moody and people clamoring for more JK or less JK or less Pods. Look, this season's always been about the big boys, right? Wiggins, the big money players. I always look at the big money players. What are the big, like with the Giants right now? Who's struggling? Well, the big money players are struggling. Blake Snell is struggling. Matt Chapman is struggling. Jorge Soler, taking away a couple home runs, is struggling. Big money players. I don't care about Yaz. Yaz doesn't factor. Yaz, to me, is not dictating wins and losses. It's the big boys. And that's the same thing with the Golden State Warriors. Like, think about the way Friday's game went down. Think about the way, like, Steph Curry's got to carry so much of a load for this team. And we're out here talking about Moses Moody played. Moses Moody played 19 minutes Friday night. Do you remember anything Moses Moody did Friday night in those 19 minutes?
Grab an offensive rebound.
Okay. Do you really remember that?
No, I'm just...
Yeah, you don't. You don't.
But why are you so triggered about the Moses Moody thing?
I'm not triggered at all. What I'm basically trying to explain is Moses Moody is a nice rotational piece, But that's not going to determine whether or not the Warriors win a championship.
No, I know, but
that's not going to determine whether or not they beat the Sacramento Kings.
No,
it's going to be about the big boys tomorrow night.
No, I think most of us agree with you, but like, that's why we spent 2 years talking about Clay, and that's why we spend so much time as a station talking about Draymond and Andrew Wiggins.
Right.
Right? Because those are the guys, like, to your point, those are the guys making the most money, and those are the guys that are going to be playing the majority of the crucial moments.
I just don't spend a lot of time on social media like I used to, so I didn't realize that there was this drum beating for Moses Moody to play a lot more minutes, or Paz to play less minutes, or JK to not be part of the rotation.
The Paz thing has been
right.
It's been very wildly polarizing, and I don't think it should be that polarizing. He's playing because he's been pretty good.
I mean,
not
to
great
me, to me,
for
Pods,
a rookie.
Pods is he's exceeded all expectations as a rookie.
Yes.
Rookies don't usually play with championship players. He's played, he cracked the rotation, and has done what he's been asked to do. So anyway, let's get the Morgan ringing up in Sacramento. My homegirl, my sister from another mother, pre- and post-game show host on NBC Sports California with the Sacramento Kings, the Deuce and Bo podcast, the Night Chat, all that stuff. Morgan, here we go again.
What is this? What I mean... Deja vu, you guys.
Yeah, reunited, and it feels so good. Or does it feel good for everybody in Sacramento? Did the Kings fans, Morgan, as you talk to them every single night and every single day, is this the matchup they circled? Is this the matchup they wanted as a 9 seed and hosting a playing game up in Sacramento?
Vontae, you already know the answer to that. I mean, when Steph Curry comes to your house and drops 50 on you in a Game 7, it's what literal nightmares are made of for any NBA fan. And that's why, like, even with this one, it's just like, what are the basketball gods doing? Like, why is this the matchup? Why did this have to happen? And yeah, it kind of sucks, but you know, it sucks because it's we've seen this story play out before, except now it's one game, but it's one game where you're going up against a team that has guys that have experienced this type of pressure so many times in their career, and they have seen success.
What's cracking with the Hollow Man? How's he doing lately?
Which one's the Hollow Man?
Oh, it's Domantas Sabonis. Yeah. Yeah.
Jeffy, every single time I think of you, I just think, elbow.
Well,
elbow.
You know what, Mo?
Shoulder,
Mo,
shoulder,
you know
shoulder.
It's funny you bring that up, because I thought I saw you on set as your co-host was crying tears of pain because the league is too physical, when the irony is you have a guy who initiates contact on every single dribble he's ever had in his entire NBA career.
Hey, Shasty, was that me with that comment, or was that him with that comment?
Well, I mean, I'm bunching you all together.
Mo, who are you thinking? You and Chelsea Gray is sitting there
laughing your ass off.
And I'm laughing at Draper because I'm like, wait a minute, Draper, what are you talking about here? What was going through your mind as you let him go on that minute-long rant?
She was
about
ready to grab him a Kleenex.
Saying it's too physical. It's bully ball being played. I don't enjoy this brand of basketball. I couldn't stop
you
laughing.
You guys, I cannot control what anyone else says.
Thank
I don't
you.
Control
Fonte
what
knows.
I say.
Yeah.
And it is, you know, it is very important when you have teammates up there, you're not just going to crap all over what they have to say. So you hear them, you listen, and I definitely don't agree with it. But at the same time, it's like, he's going to say what he's going to say. And, yeah, I love how physical this league is. And I feel like tomorrow, I think it's going to be so physical between both teams. But, and don't, hey, no crying over there when I say this. And this is just, come on, it's factual. I am afraid someone like Keon Ellis is going to breathe on Steph Curry, and they're going to start calling that way too soon. And it's like, no, let them play. You know what I mean? Like, Keon Ellis is a pretty pure defender. Like, he's pretty honest in his defense. And, like, if it just kind of goes in that direction, that's not going to be fun to watch. So hopefully it gets to stay physical and refs don't, like, allow it to be soft for certain people.
I like Keon Ellis. Keon Ellis is playing well. I really like him.
What does the crowd have in store for Draymond Green? One of my favorite moments in Warrior history was when the Boston Garden had a very specific chance for Draymond, and he was doing the Hollywood, you know, Hogan, WWE, to, like, cupping his ears to the crowd. The crowd's going to be fired up for Draymond, right?
I feel like I should know and have a pulse of that. But at the same time, I feel like it's the entire Warriors squad. It's not just about Draymond. And I'm sure he'll get booed when he gets the basketball. But I'm kind of like, hey, guys, don't waste your energy on that. You got to save your energy for, like, when the Warriors go on a run and the Kings, like, need to feel some home court love and, like, you know, feel the energy, the vibe from the crowd.
You know, Mama Marie, one of these chats on our YouTube here, Ernie Chavez, he's one of our award winners from our Doobie Awards, and he's right on point with this one. Mo is catching strays. Like I was catching strays for what Shasky says. So I understand your pain for catching strays for what Jay Brissett last Friday night. Let's just say, you know, it's just not fair.
Are we a duo or what?
Yeah,
he's going to leave me flapping in the wind?
Whoa, he's going to leave me fired from one of these jobs, Mo. I got my own cause. Why did Shasky say that? Now I got to answer to him because Shasky stays at home in his little man cave, and I got to go out there with the people and face the consequences of what he said. But anyway, Sacramento. Sorry, I had to get that off my chest.
I love it.
Is it as simple as the Sacramento struggles being attributed to Malik Monk being out for 4 to 6 weeks, wherever he's at with the timeline now? What has it been, 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks? But is it that simple that Malik Monk has been out, which has led to the struggles of Sacramento?
You guys, it's not that simple. I mean, there's a lot of things. It's like, hey, you didn't do anything at the trade deadline. Hey, you didn't do anything in free agency. Hey, I mean, like, you can go, hey, you lost these games against Detroit, Washington, whatever the law. Like, it goes down the line. But lately, absolutely, the style of basketball had to completely change. The rotations had to completely change. And it's not just Malik Monk, you guys. You look at Kevin Huerter, and I know some of you are like, what? Did he suck this year? Like, all the people that actually just don't watch basketball and just look at a few box scores or something. And it's like, no, actually, you know, it's funny. He posed as a threat because he moves without the basketball. And whether he was going to make that shot or not, he was still a threat. Teams were still worried about him. And 46% of Sabonis' assists came from Malik Monk and Kevin Huerter. So now Sabonis' game has to completely change. And it has completely changed. I mean, they've been doing a lot more pick and roll. De'Aaron's been playing a lot more off ball. So there's not, like, guys just swarming him at first. So he can actually be something within the offense as well. So, yeah, it's changed a lot of things, but it's not the sole reason.
When I look back at that series, like, there was the pre-finger injury, De'Aaron Fox, and there was post. He was still good, but it wasn't the same. And, like, I do feel like history is kind of forgotten, time is forgotten, that he did get hurt. Like, do you guys think about that as a fan base, the De'Aaron Fox injury, the woulda, coulda, shoulda?
No, I don't think it's so much that. I think when you look at his game, like last year, and you think about the leap that he took with his game offensively as a leader, all these things, you know, you get excited about it. And you definitely have to factor in the injuries. I mean, Sabonis was playing with a broken finger, you know, De'Aaron had his injuries as well. But then this year too, Shasky, like, looking at De'Aaron take a leap on the other side of the floor with his defense, it's more like, okay, this guy at 26 years old is kind of finally figuring it out. And I'm not comparing to someone like Kawhi Leonard, but it took Kawhi Leonard 5 years to really figure out and become the star that he was. And again, De'Aaron's not on that timeline. Like, it's been longer than 5 years, but my point is just so many guys figure out their greatness at different points of their career and different primes. And so I still think he has a lot of room to be. It's not like shoulda, coulda, woulda. It's going to be like, what's going to happen?
Yeah. Mo, Mike Brown. How are the fans feeling about Mike Brown up at Sacramento? He won Coach of the Year a season ago. And then, you know, I hear some of the rhetoric about Mike Brown. How are fans feeling about Mike Brown and his job status up there in Sacramento? What's the word up there?
Isn't it the same thing, like, if Steve Kerr loses a game, like, everyone wants to fire him?
Oh, yeah,
like,
absolutely.
It's comical how and where people will want the change. And when it is there's been times with Mike Brown, people have complained about rotations or let's say they stick to blitzing someone like Steph Curry. No, no, you do not blitz Steph Curry. He's going to make a quick decision. Like these little things that Kings fans that like to really break down the game technique and everything, they have been frustrated with some of these things. But I think at the same time, like, Bonte, are you, and maybe the answer is yes, are you amazing on TV every single pre and post game?
Absolutely. Are you
not
kidding me?
Absolutely not.
Hell yeah, he is.
Some would say amazing. Never happens on
this
that pre game.
Fake humility
show.
He's
no,
doing
no,
right
no,
now.
No, 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 no. Mo knows. I'm T. Shasky tries to project onto me. I'm the most humble guy out here in the Bay Area streets. I really am. I don't brag about myself. And no, I don't have
the
amazing
most
shows.
Guy who's
I don't even have amazing segments.
Humble.
I mess up in every segment.
I'm a tremendous humility person.
You guys, my point to that, though, it's like I know I'm good at what I do, but it doesn't mean that, like, I'm going to be perfect every single night. And I guess my point is sometimes these coaches, which, by the way, I love high standards, and I believe that we should hold them accountable for mistakes that they make, but it doesn't mean it's a fireable offense every single night. So, yeah, people are fine, but people were riding the high of last year still, and so they get down, especially when expectations change.
Real quick, Mo, how do you look at the Warriors situation from afar? You watch the game inside and out. Also, your G League covers of the Stockton Kings, and you've done announcing in the G League bubble. You know the league inside and out. I respect you and Deuce so much because your knowledge of the NBA as a whole. How do you view this Warriors situation from afar here with the big three, with the coaches, with the youngsters? What do you see? What comes to your mind when you think about the Golden State Warriors?
Well, I guess when I think about where they are right now, I'm like, how are they a better team? How are they a better team than what they were at the beginning of the season? Like, it's crazy to think about more mileage, more time spent on some of these older dudes. You got Draymond being a loser out there at times. Like, and by the way, when I say that, this is also someone that I respect on the basketball floor that can achieve championships and make Steph better, make his teammates better at times, while also trying to make them worse at times. But my point to all of this, it's crazy then when you start to see the developmental stages of like Moses Moody and Pajemski and Trace Jackson Davis. It's frustrating at times because you guys are 90 minutes away and it's like, how? How do you figure this out? And really the answer is because of the culture, the, I guess, everything, the foundation that has been laid down there, and it's a winning foundation. And that's why now when I look at this matchup against the Sacramento Kings, I'm like, you guys are different. The Warriors are different, but they're good different. And the Kings are different from the last time these two teams played, but they're bad different. And it doesn't mean that it's impossible to beat the Warriors on Tuesday. It does not mean it's impossible. Anything can happen in the NBA, but that's just how I describe this situation and what the Warriors look like now.
In terms of civic pride and the Northern California rivalry and what happened last year, even if it's just this one game, would this be the biggest win in 20 years for the Kings? For the fans?
Oh, my God. I mean, maybe for me and my soul.
Well, that's why I'm asking. No, I'm serious. Like, I want to get inside the psyche of, like, all games aren't created equal. I know that there are, you know what I mean? Like, winning this one, it would qualify you for another chance to try to qualify for the playoffs, right? Like, it's not even a playoff game, but...
Well, it may send the Warriors into an offseason.
That's what I'm
into
saying.
Into a tailspin to where they break apart everything. Like, Mo, I watched the game yesterday, and I don't... I think Clay is coming back. But boy, I'm telling you, it crossed my mind multiple times after he hit six threes. Is this the last time I've ever seen Clay wearing a Warriors uniform beside Jason?
Yeah.
Like, that's a thing.
Yeah. No, and that's why, I guess, like, when you do look at this game from a Kings fan point of view, just someone that covers it, whatever, it is, and Deuce actually said this last night on the podcast. He's like, this could be the end of the dynasty. This, like, you could be a part of that story of ending the dynasty. Like, obviously, that's a little dramatic. Like, you're not going to be the reason, but ultimately you're going to play a part within that story if that was the case and Clay for some reason didn't come back, didn't go in this direction. And so, yeah, I guess if you really want to make it dramatic, and who doesn't love a little bit of drama with all this NBA talk, yeah, then it sure, it would be probably the biggest game because of all the angles. And let's just say this too, Shasky, let's just say Kings beat the Warriors, and then they have to go on and play the Lakers. Yeah, this would be the biggest week of Kings basketball in 20 years.
What about the reverse? What happens if they lose?
So if they lose, I know a lot of people had, you know, expectations at least get in the first round of playoffs, and you don't meet those expectations. It's scary. A lot of people are let down. I don't think anything would happen within the organization. You know, it's like you never know in sports, so that always scares me. But I think fan base wise, like, people are just not happy. But can I just say this really quick? It is insane because you guys over there in the Bay Area, you have dealt with winning for quite some time now.
Yeah.
Oh, good for all of you over there with all your...
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Two little championships. So happy for you guys. Us over here, we have dealt with pure dog crap for 16 seasons, and finally you get this glimmer of hope last year, and 48 wins. It's amazing. This year, what, 40? Is it 46 wins? Yeah, 46 wins. 46 wins. If you told me that they were going to win 46 wins the next year, I would be pleased. Now, 46 wins in the Eastern Conference, you'd be making the playoffs,
right?
So that sounds a lot better. But my point is that there was still so, I would rather be talking and breaking down competitive basketball for the rest of my life with the Sacramento Kings team than ever go back to 2 9-game losing streaks in a season.
Yeah.
Mo, you weren't happy for us winning 4 championships. Why you guys? Straight cap. Come on. Like, keep it real. Like, what
no,
are we doing?
You know what's funny though? I'm a huge basketball fan. Like, I'm a way bigger Kings fan, like lifelong bleed purple, all that crap. But like, I'm obsessed with basketball. And so when, like, over the years with Warriors basketball, seeing some really beautiful style of play as just in some really special players have been fun. But now that the Kings are good, screw you guys. Yeah. Hope you lose.
Yeah, especially you got to work with me and hear my big fat mouth talking to you. Yeah. I don't talk too much to Mo. Mo's a good. Mo's
you
my,
ain't talking
my,
too much because that DoorDash is getting delivered.
No. Mo's
I'm
my dog.
I'm Dante Hill, and here comes DoorDash.
Hey, Mo, tell me this guy doesn't watch too much pregame pause. Take a play off, man. Take care of the change some diapers, Shasky. Stop watching me
actually,
so hard.
Some of us can multitask.
Yeah, this guy can't, Mo. I'm telling you. But no, Kyle Draper, he gets all the smoke. Mo's.
Yes. Oh,
Mo's
fair
my
enough.
Girl. Mo's my girl. She's good peoples. Mo, have fun up
have
here in Sacramento
one.
Tomorrow night.
I wish you no luck at all.
Same to you guys. No, and enjoy. Either way, let's enjoy the game. I'm sure we'll all be talking later. So thanks for having me, guys.
Anytime, Mo. Anytime. You're welcome. Anytime. Morgan Reagan.
What
good sport. She's really knowledgeable too when it comes to the NBA. I love talking to her about the game of basketball. There, pre and post game show host up there, NBC Sports California. Do some old podcasts. Also does her dues through the G League for the Stockton Kings. She is a superstar, and she's a star. She's a star. Let me just say that. She is a star. Let me throw this at you here. Dalton Johnson, Petaluma's finest. Daddy Dalton Johnson. He's got a little four-month-old baby girl. Dogs come back to NBC Sports Bay Area. Just tweeted this out.
Okay.
Jonathan Kuminga. Uh-huh. I'm going to read this tweet, and I want you to see what it means. Okay. How would you
I'll let it sink in.
Let it sink in. Jonathan Kuminga, 21 years old, in year number three, averaging 16 points per game. Now, it's up to 20 when you take in what happened since January 5th at the Denver Nuggets game, 25-4 run, but 16 points a game, 21 years old, year number three. Pascal Siakam. How much do you think he averaged after year three, in which he was 24 years old?
11.2.
17.
Okay.
He's 24.
I'm not playing the game properly.
No. You're fine. You're fine. I'm just asking you guess. It's not a game or anything like that. Jaylen Brown, year three. What do you think he averaged at 21 years old in year number three?
Jaylen Brown, probably 19.
Averaged 14.5 points per game.
Okay. Now I'm playing the game right.
Kawhi Leonard. 22 years old.
Uh-huh.
When he was done in year three, and you just heard Mo say he really didn't become that player until like year five, year six, how much do you think he averaged?
12.
13. 12.8. And now, mind you, Kawhi was 22. Jaylen Brown's 21. Yeah. Siakam was 24. JK's 21 years old. Year three averaged 16 points per game on this roster with this core. What do you make of that?
What I've been saying all year, I think if he was on any other team that was below where the Warriors are in terms of like having this many veterans, I think he'd be already a 20-point-a-game guy.
Easy.
I don't know if they'd be winning all those games because that's a different question, but I think he would already be that. I mean, Bonte, second most free throw attempts and the most two-point attempts on the team.
Yeah.
Well, that tells me this guy's getting to the cup and getting into the lane, and he provides so many elements of what this team desperately needs. He's one of the few guys that gets to the free throw line. One thing, as I was looking at the stats from last year to this year, we underrated how much Jordan Poole went to the free throw line.
Oh, I didn't. We just can't bring it up in around here because apparently Jordan Poole sucked. Oh, you want to... You want to go somewhere.
And then I got Kuminga started the fifth most games on the team, even though he kind of went all over the place. Him and Pods, right around fifth most minutes. Kuminga seventh, Pods fifth. 26.3 for Kuminga, 26.6 for Pods. And he was the third leading scorer. I mean, I think he had an unbelievable season.
He had a great season. He's going to be in a conversation for most improved player. Tyrese Maxey's going to get that award, but Kuminga is one of the top five most improved players in the league. Now, speaking of Jordan Poole, I know they didn't win a lot of games, but he got his game right before the offseason.
Okay.
His last five shot 44% from the floor, 37.5% from three, 23.5 points per game, 9 assists, 4 rebounds.
Trade back for him.
In the month of March.
Trade Kuminga for him.
In the month of March, Jordan Poole. In the month of March, Jordan Poole. 44.5% from the field, 35% from three, 5 assists per game, 3 rebounds. 19 a game. So he started getting his game right starting in March 1st. Now, probably too little too late. Now, I know all people say, well, they lost a lot of games. But more importantly, individually, he started to see some more efficiency, started to become more efficient. I mean, I wouldn't close the door on Jordan Poole.
He got sent
to
NBA Siberia.
Yeah, no doubt. He's playing with, I mean, that roster is terrible. Terrible. But don't sleep on Jordan Poole. I wouldn't close the book on that.
I mean, he's a great team player, Bonte. They were supposed to lose games, and they did that. And he also got his at the end, so there you go.
There you go.
He understood the assignment.
As you survey around the league, just for a split second, I am very interested to see what happens with Porzingis and the Boston Celtics in the playoffs. Because if he doesn't play well, I feel like he'll be the guy from that team that gets the most criticism.
Well, no, it all goes back to Tatum and Brown.
You think so?
We go to the top dogs, yeah. Porzingis can skate free. We kind of, the perception with Porzingis is he's going to get hurt or he's going to flame out. We
I don't feel think like he's he had a really good year this year.
He did. But when you're on that team and you're Jaylen Brown making $300 million,
okay,
and you're Jason Tatum up for a big-time extension that could get him $250 to $300 million, It all boils down to Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Don't get it twisted.
I mean, that team, the Boston Celtics, they're definitely under the most pressure of all the teams 100%. In the NBA, correct? I mean, just how bad. 100%. I was just going through the Eastern Conference
People
playoffs.
Are taking the it's Indiana Pacers against the Bucks. I'm looking at all these predictions, like these series predictions.
Would you be shocked if they beat them?
No, because that's like Bonta, what's the first thing Bonta said? Is Giannis even healthy?
We don't know
if Giannis is healthy. He has a calf strain.
Well, even if Boston... So you got Philly and Miami in a 7-8 game. And I think Boston is probably hoping for Philly to lose because they match up better with Philadelphia. They always have for some reason in the playoffs. But what if they see Miami again?
Oh, they don't want to see Miami. They don't want to see Jimmy Buckets.
What if they see Miami again in the first round? All right? Then you got Pacers, Bucks, as you mentioned. And then the New York Knicks. What if Philly drops to 7? What if they win that playing game and they play the Knicks? I'm taking Philly over New York if I know Embiid is healthy.
Brunson's had a monster.
He has, but so has Tyrese Maxey.
I know. That's like the worst matchup.
No Randall, too. I know Randall's not. I know he's kind of a meme player.
I think Brunson's better without him.
Well, you can still use his size and stuff, and he can be a bucket when he wants to be and when he's involved.
He just, when he misses buckets or he doesn't get fouled, he stops playing.
First team, all bad body.
100%. He drives me crazy. Drives me crazy. And if he was doing the same exact things in Washington, we would not bestow star status on him.
So, yeah.
So, I believe New York media has elevated
him. Also, look at the Western Conference. Minnesota seeing Phoenix in the first round.
What, you like Phoenix?
Phoenix won every single regular season matchup and beat them down yesterday.
Okay.
And now you're trying to work back Carl Anthony Towns into the equation. Now, Phoenix has a point guard issue. I worry about them late in games. But if they're rolling... You sure Minnesota wants to see Kevin Durant and Booker in the first round of the playoffs?
No.
Oh, my gosh. So if you're Minnesota, you're on upset alert. If OKC ends up playing the Warriors in the first round, that's a big if right now because the Warriors have to win two games. But you don't think they're going to be a little like, damn, we got to see Steph?
Well, I don't want to be a Selsky Mr. Predictor here, but if... Big if the Warriors can have one of the nice weeks of all time where they knock off the Kings and then the Lakers... I'm telling you, watch out, OKC, if the Warriors can get
You're not
get
allowed
through.
To say that after all the work you've been doing today.
Well, no, once
you're
we
not
get in,
to look ahead.
Then it's different.
No, then we pivot. Allowed to look ahead. You're not allowed to look ahead.
Mark the tape, and then burn it if we
you're
lose.
You're not allowed to look ahead. No, not you.
Would anybody be surprised after if all the OKC lost doing. In the first round?
I'd be surprised if they lost to... Sacramento in the first round of the playoffs. I wouldn't be surprised if they lost to the Warriors in New Orleans. What if New Orleans is the 8? What if New Orleans ends up being the 8 seed? That's a scary matchup for OKC.
New Orleans scares me.
The West is good. I tried to warn you guys a couple years ago about the West. About these teams
the West
that were
has
coming.
Been good for 30 years.
Yeah, but these,
I mean, this,
but these
my
youngsters.
Whole life they've been good.
I mean, literally, I've been trying
youngsters.
To warn you about this division.
No. I tried to warn you about Minnesota, OKC, and New Orleans.
That you, yeah.
And they're here now.
Yeah.
And they're in the way. They are in the way.
How's that Paul George trade working out for the Clippers?
I hate to see that happen.
In contrast for OKC. I mean, within 4 years,
Kawhi, yeah.
They've completely, I mean, they've turned the entire league upside down.
The Clippers may have traded an MVP. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yeah.
Now, Jokic will probably win the MVP award, but Shai is going to be a finalist. The Clippers traded him and all those draft picks. Now OKC is sitting on 9 guaranteed picks over the next 5 to 6 years. 9 guaranteed first-round picks along with that core.
Remember what Pat Bev said when that happened?
The next 5 years.
Next 5 years.
Yeah,
who was the other guy off the bench?
For who?
For the Clippers. That was he had the dreads.
Oh, Montrezl Harrell.
Montrezl Harrell was talking so much smack to the Warriors that year. So much smack.
Oh,
he reminds me of remember the guy who was in Denver.
Kenneth Faried.
The Manimal.
The Manimal. The nickname was on the tip of my tongue.
The Manimal. I remember Montrezl Harrell. The Warriors played their first regular season game at Chase against the Clippers. They got beat by 30+. Honest to God, I wanted to put my 401k on the Clippers in that game. They were only 3-point favorites. And I was like, damn. I was like trying to figure out a way to get somebody into
yes,
my Vanguard. Account.
I'd like to remove the entire 401k. I will take the hit.
I was trying to make a big time bet on that game.
He won sixth man of the year, Montrezl Harrell, in 2020. He's out of the league now.
He's out of the league. So good.
Well,
gone.
What happened?
Well, in the post game, I remember in the post game, we're all sitting 30. There waiting for Montrezl Harrell.
30?
Yeah, he's only 30 years old. He got caught up with something. Didn't he have, like, some weed thing happen? You got to get off of that. He was driving around with a lot of weed. Man, nothing wrong with a little weed.
Yeah, well, come on.
Yeah, it was, I think it was like the intent to sell or something. He had like pounds in the truck. Shout out Nate Newton. Listen.
Shout out.
Dude, Montrezl Harrell was in the locker room.
That's Zebo.
He was in the locker room. And that was the game where Pat Bev was talking that talk. That was the same day.
Johnny Depp and Blow.
Montrezl Harrell put on these chains, right? He had like eight different gold chains. Eight different chains with bezels and everything.
Uh-huh.
And one reporter goes, oh, man, so-and-so got that chain on the... I'm just saying the team, so-and-so has that chain on the Houston Rockets. Yeah. And Harrell looked up and goes, hey, nobody got this chain. What you talking about, man? Ain't nobody, like, got angry, like, got snappy and sassy with the reporter. Nobody got this chain. I'm the only one with this chain. It's like, yo, dude, chill. Yeah, June 15th, 2022, Harrell was charged with trafficking less than 5 pounds of marijuana, a felony drug charge punishable with up to 5 years in prison.
What state?
I forget the state, but in August 2022, the crime was downgraded to a misdemeanor. What state was this, Lovin? Was it Tennessee? I think it was like Tennessee.
Give me a second, I'm pulling it up right now.
It's either Tennessee, Mississippi, Alabama, somewhere probably there.
So, Richmond, Kentucky.
Richmond, Kentucky.
He was pulled up during a traffic stop in Richmond, Kentucky.
Gosh. But if he had a box of bourbon, he'd be good.
That's right.
Yeah.
He suffered an ACL injury, too, so that probably was in training camp with the Sixers.
He would throw down some crazy dunks.
Yeah, he was nasty. So we're gonna ramp it up.
All right,
we got play-in tournament tomorrow.
I'm excited.
Kings Warriors.
Can we take a minute to discuss UFC 300?
Max Holloway.
Okay, Gaethje's nose got exploded seconds into that fight.
Right.
Any normal human being is like, I'm done. I just get me out of here. The fact that they fought the way that they did for 5 rounds, and then at the end, like, let's go. Let's just swing them. And then to get KO'd the way he got KO'd as, like, a buzzer beater, that was an incredible fight.
Well,
incredible
Max
fight.
Holloway had to fight one, and he still told Gaethje, come to the middle of the ring. Let's throw down.
And they did.
Just hits him. And they just knocks him out. Even the fight with the Chinese girls.
The two Chinese women was an excellent fight.
Well, the Chinese girl got murfed out, choked out.
She passed out.
Got saved by the bell. And she got up and was like woozy. They were like throwing water all over her, ice. She got beat down, but she's tough.
Is everybody from Brazil, too? I feel like every other dude is from Brazil. Like, is that just...
a big MMA, jiu-jitsu, grappling, all that stuff.
That dude... Destroyed Alex, another guy. Yeah, Hill or whatever?
Yeah, he was trash. I was watching some of his pre-fight interviews or whatnot. What a strange dude.
Well, he had the Hill had the double thumbs up. I think it was for Northside Chicago.
Yeah, I don't know what
he had. Northside written across his chest. It was a lot.
He was waiting for him at the door, like, all right, because Alex, what's his name? What's his last name? Pereira, I want to say. I could be wrong there, but he walks into the ring. He has that music and he kind of does the bow and arrow. He always does that. That was easy work. Need him just like looking like, really? That's that? Really?
I mean, those guys are crazy.
Yeah, they're beasts. It was a good card.
It was a great card.
300 was really, really good. Really, really good.
Well, and then UFC 301 almost broke out in the middle of the living room between two of my cousins. But we're good now. They broed it out. They kissed it out. They were good. Yeah.
Fighting in a Shasky household?
Yeah. Deli Boy. We had our annual, we call it the Big Joe now. You know what? We'll do Fast Five.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
So, Saturday we had our annual, it used to be called the Disasters. Now we're going to rename it to the Big Joe in honor of my dad. And so the whole family went up there. We kept it smaller than normal and didn't, because it's just last minute and whatnot. And it was supposed to rain all day. And the skies opened up because Big Joe was looking down on us. And I don't know what the heck he put in the air for my brother. I was playing great. And I looked up and my brother was out hitting me all day. And I putted out of my mind. I had like 5 birdies.
Oh,
okay.
Wow.
And it was one of the most birdies I've ever had in a round.
Really, now, are these the Lucas Alexander birdies or are these true ones?
No, okay. These are legit.
I'm sure this was legit. I'm sure it was 3 birdies, Spadoni. We know. We go from 60 to 70.
Call
to
up Deli Boy.
To 85 Size inches.
On call the up TV. Deli Boy. But I got to give credit to him.
You just make a difference.
I think he shot a 74. He beat him by at least one stroke, if not two. I think he shot a 74 or a 73 out there. He was outstanding. Tip of the cap. And then the winner of the disaster, because we come up with the Big Joe, because we come up with a different scoring system. My little cousin, Dennis Porter, in his first ever 18 holes, we put the balls down on the final hole in the rain. It was just coming down never so lightly. We said, you versus your brother, 100 yards out, get it in the hole. And we were cheering him on, and little Dennis won by one stroke.
Good job.
He
wins
the green jacket.
Good job, little Dennis. Good job, little Dennis. Good job. Spinotti, what you got?
It's Jackie Robinson Day.
Yeah.
Boy, 77th anniversary since he made his debut in Major League Baseball. So shout out Jackie Robinson. 77 years. Can't believe it.
I love 42. Great movie.
Very good movie.
And everyone wears 42 today, which
I know,
is really
it's
cool.
The best.
My final thought is shout out to the San Jose Sharks. Clutch loss over the weekend against Minnesota to close out the home schedule.
Yeah.
Guys, they are assured of the worst record in the NHL. They will have the best odds in the draft lottery. 25% chance to land Macklin Celebrini.
Oh, I love that.
Good times coming for the Sharks, baby.
Good time. My final thought is why the hell would the 49ers trade Brock Purdy's number one target and Brandon Ayuk? Do you really want to go down that road in drafting a rookie wide receiver? I know receivers are equipped to make the transition smoothly into college, from college to the NFL, but do you really want to trade the guy who was second in the league in yards per catch, had over 1,300 yards receiving in a run-first offense, with an offense that had Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel, and George Kittle? You sure you want Ayuk traded? You sure you want to trade Brock Purdy's number one target? Yeah, I'm not with that. I'm not with that. I don't sign off on that one. I'm off that.
It's a deep wide receiver draft. Next Thursday, by the way, NFL draft.
Cannot wait. That's Fast Five, brought to you by Xfinity. At home or on the go, you'll get the fastest internet to all of your devices. Warriors, Kings.
The worst commercial I saw this weekend, which I've seen a few times, the Carmelo Anthony one is just an odd one. It's very pretentious. Where he's like drinking ringside. You haven't seen that one?
Nah, I don't watch commercials.
Oh, yeah. Shout out Scottie Scheffler, winning the second green jacket.
Yeah, there you go.
Scottie Scheffler's such a beast.
There you go.
Only the fourth ever player to win under 30 years old to win two green jackets. Seve Ballesteros, Jack Nicklaus,
and Tiger Woods.
There you go.
Tiger Woods, y'all. All right, Steiny Guru next right here on 95.7 The Game.
I'm right.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.